Went to Water World with some of my grandkids, and they kept on saying, "Papa, let's go on the roller coaster slide." And I thought, "Oh, that sounds fun." So we went on the roller coaster slide, and part of it went into a dark tunnel, and it kept on going to the right, and all of a sudden it went to the left, knocked something out. I didn't feel it at the time, but the next day, all of a sudden it started to hurt, and pretty soon it was awful. I went up to camp this week for a day, and I couldn't even pick up my smallest grandchild. It just hurt so bad. So Friday, we took them up to Keystone. They have I don't know if you know this, but I'm going to tell this to you because it's cool. Keystone at 1 o'clock on Fridays, the gondola is free, and you go all the way up to the top, and they have a live band, they have food. It's a great date, and there's a sandbox and different things for your kids, for the little kids to do. So anyhow, we're going up this gondola, and so I'm looking, going uphill, and I'm sitting there, and Debbie's saying, "You know, Steve, you're hardly talking." I said, "I know, I feel like I'm almost in shock with the pain or something." And so we get about two-thirds of the way up, and they go, "Papa, Papa, look, there's our car down there. It looks like an ant. Look, look." And I'm thinking, I don't want to turn around and look. You know what I'm saying, you who've had back problems? So finally, I thought, okay, I'm just turning around. So I turned around, popped it back in. Now I'm fine. Can you beat that? Thank you, God. Otherwise, I'd be sitting up here on a stool crying. Okay? All right. Enough of this suffering. Okay. We're continuing in our series of 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 15, and we've called this study Signs You're Hanging with the Wrong Crowd. And God is very clear about us not hanging with the wrong people for a lot of good reasons. And the biggest is because it's dangerous. It's unhealthy for our Christian life. So God has given us some very helpful instructions and to avoid those people who would pull us down and weaken our faith. Are you following me so far? Okay, good. So let's read our scripture this morning. I'm going to read the black and you read the green. "But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother
who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition."
It's pretty clear, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. "Which he received from us. For we were not disorderly among you, but worked with labor and toil day or night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us." You know, the first question is, how in the world did Paul and his partner become these amazing examples? Have you ever thought about that? How in the world can Paul do that? And then we fight the battle every day, and it seems like we lose. Sometimes we win, and Paul's just out there being the example, saying, "Follow us." And I think, how in the world does he do it? And, you know, I thought, okay, well, the answer must be that we get it by osmosis from sitting in church, right? Yeah, I wish. I don't know. It's hard to know how much we could saturate from our chair. Wait a minute. Temperament. Maybe they have the temperament to be able to do all that and walk straight as an arrow, whereas we don't have that same temperament. No, I don't think that'll fly. Or better yet, maybe God has special protection on them and that they don't experience any problems because God's totally perfecting them. Oh, that's really not it, is it? I mean, when we look at what Paul went through. And maybe because maybe he got whipped and beat and got hit in the head, and as a result of that, it kind of knocked his brain half out, and he was able to follow God with no problem. I don't think that's going to ride, is it? Because Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Well, you can't say that if you have this protective cover. Wait. Maybe it's because they miraculously became preachers and apostles, whereas the rest of us don't have that angel dust sprinkled on us. Now, I say that because most people's assumption is because I'm a pastor, I don't have the same temptations as you. You know what I have to say to that? Ha, ha, ha. You know, we are smart. We are very smart. Smart enough to embrace bad company, we think, and survive it. After all, his instructions are for the weak, right? If you're a strong Christian, you can hang around with anybody. But if you're a weak Christian, well, you better watch out. Okay, I'm being a little silly. I understand that. And you survived it. Okay. But I'm not sure that we don't buy into some of those things I just mentioned. Somehow Paul has this extra dispensation or something that he can walk and talk and do what he does in Timothy and some of those others, but it's harder on us. And after all, look at the society that we live in. Hardly any Christians are vocal about God anymore. Do you realize that? I've watched through the years where it's gotten less vocal and less vocal, and then we have TV programs you can watch, but there's very few yelling out to our society, hey, you're in sin. You're messing up. And so the question this morning I have for you is, why are you focusing on us, God, on our worldly friends, when it's okay where we are? We're okay, are we? I mean, you all look pretty good. Here's the deal. I'm not forcing that. God's forcing that. And the answer is because God says bad company influences you in a wrong way. So Paul's clearest and most concise statement on the subject is found in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Let me read it to you. Do not be deceived or misled. Bad company corrupts good behavior unless you're a strong Christian. Oh, sorry, I added that extra, didn't I? Yeah. Bad company corrupts good behavior. Maybe we could say it this way. Don't be misled. Questionable relationships destroy good behavior. And you know that, right? You get into a group that isn't godly and doesn't have the best mind for you, and boy, it's a degeneration. And when you're influenced, I don't know if you're like me, but when I'm influenced, I get miserable. I always want to go, get in my car and go, no matter where it is, because it's just hard. And if you're hanging even with a questionable group of Christians, because actually Paul's talking about other Christians. If you're hanging with a questionable group of Christians, you will become like them, not them like you. And how do you know you're hanging with the wrong crowd? When their conversation and their activities sound and act like the world and not honoring God. Pretty easy. It's the wrong crowd. Don't be confused. It's the wrong crowd. And you might hear somebody say, well, hey, man, who cares? It's only a little lie. It's such a small thing. Or skipping church and not reading my Bible and having a quiet time. Hey, it's all covered under grace, right? And it is. I could just hear some of the minds. Man, I need some downtime. I don't want to read my Bible or let the do-gooders try to convince me that I need to have a quiet time or a change in my lifestyle. God can chase once. You ever said that to yourself? You always forget that God chased us all the way to the cross. That's why Paul says in the Word of God, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? unless indeed you're disqualified. Now, what does Paul mean by disqualified? Does he mean unsaved? No. Does he mean we examine ourselves to see if we're living the way God intended? Yes, and sometimes when we examine ourselves, we find we're in fault, don't we? We find we're not in the place we should be. That's what he means by disqualified. Discovering in yourselves that you've been proven wrong or worthless in your thinking or actions. So in other words, we could say this, examine in the word, I love the word examine because it means pressure yourself. Pressure yourself as to whether you are living in the faith that God intended you to live. Look at your talk. Look at your Facebook. Your Snapchat. Well, you can't look at it very long, huh? Snapchat is built for people with secrets. That's my idea. Twitter or your conversations or your anger or your demands. Does it represent God-honoring wisdom? Or is it bending into the world, imitating the world? So why would God's word be hitting on this subject? Because we get drawn out of our spiritual walk when we associate with the disobedient, the lazy, the careless, the reckless. Listen to this in Hebrews 12:1. I love this. Therefore, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now let's take a second. What in your life at this moment which so easily ensnares or entraps you? What would that be? I want you to stop and think about that before I go on. What are those things? What are those traps you fall into? That moves you away from God. Man, we all have them, don't we? We can look and say, okay, these are pretty strong, but there's a few here. We're pretty weak. God's goal, and therefore our goal, is to help us see that we need to form relationships and enhance our Christian life with the right people around us, the right crowd around us. Let me give you an example of that. A month ago, I went to Indiana to do some training, and I met with a good friend and an associate in business that I've known for since 2005. Loved the guy from South Carolina, despite his southern accent. No, my dad's from South Carolina, so I heard that all my life. In fact, I have to interpret for him sometimes, you know, when we're in the Yankee world. Okay. He's a Christian who loves God, but spends most of his time working with the ungodly, and yet he has these high standard of ethics, but struggles to keep a relationship with God in check. And so he calls me his personal pastor when we're on the field and we talk. And as I drove my car back to the hotel, and we were staying at the hotel, I thought, Lord, I just prayed, Lord, how can I encourage and minister to him? You love him, and I love him, and I know that somehow he's a little discouraged. And so when we pulled our cars into the parking lot, he got out of his car, and he told me, Steve, before we go to dinner, I just need to walk, get some exercise and walk. And I said, where are you going to walk to? And he says, well, I'm going to walk over there, and kind of pointed out about a big city block. And he said, I thought I might take a couple rounds there. I said, well, can I go with you? He said, hey, oh, would you? And I said, yeah. And so we started walking. And so as we started to walk, I just started praying out loud. And so I prayed for a little while as we were walking along, and I kind of peeked at him a couple times. I didn't mean it as a manipulation. I was just praying, but I thought, I wonder how he's handling that. And oh, man, was he loving it. And So we continued to walk, and the whole tone of our conversation changed. You know what I'm saying? When you put God into the mix, or a little prayer like that, all of a sudden you kind of ante up. And so we begin to talk about some of the things in our lives, and we talked about our spiritual lives, we talked about our giving hearts, we talked about assisting others without crossing that line of enablement. We talked about Bible reading, we talked about families, and my family and his family meditated on. And then as we're walking, it got quiet, and he said, "My brother won't talk to me anymore. He's rejected me." And I know his brother really well because I've worked with his brother. He's a Christian. He's a strong Christian. And his wife is too. And he said he's rejected me because I couldn't keep employing him in a business because we lost the business and there was no more money. So I had to tell him he had to go find another job. And he says he hasn't spoken to me since. That's a heartbreaker, isn't it? And we all know those kind of things in family or distant family where people kind of go the wrong way. I'm just going to share this with you. I hadn't even thought about talking about it, but he actually bought his brother's house and paid for it. And he did that to all of his siblings when he was really rowing in the dough. Well, then in more of the late, he hasn't had as much work. And so he had to lay off his crew and he had to lay off his brother so his brother won't talk to him. And I thought, oh man, how bad that must hurt. And so after all day training, and we drove to the hotel, and we walked, and we prayed, and I thought to myself, I prayed for his brother and his wife, that they'd wise up. Man, I felt his deep rejection, and I think it was good that he could speak it out loud because he doesn't have many friends in life because he works too much. And when I listened without judgment, and I just said, John, I am so sorry to hear that. And the response was, out flowed Christ. He just needed somebody to talk to listen to him. I kind of had that feeling in my soul that there was something that he needed to say, and we ended the walk on a spiritual high and went up and changed into our leisure clothes and went down and ate. And I thought, the guy is not lazy, he's not disobedient. I know of. He's spiritually minded, and we just have good fellowship every time we meet together. But no one to talk to. As we continued to talk over dinner, he was inspired. I was inspired. Both of us moved closer to God in that relationship. And my friends, that's the right crowd, isn't it? He needed to talk. The next time we meet, I'll need to talk. That's the right crowd. We listen and we love. We love one another. So I think I could say, just looking at that, if you're settling with the wrong crowd, examine yourself. Stop hanging with the wrong crowd. Are you really in the faith, or are you sloppy in your faith, disqualifying yourself because you talk like them and you look like them and you act like them and you end up opposing at some point, right? And all of a sudden it occurs to you, wait a minute, I've really stepped out in the wrong place. Are you following me this morning? You need to be with those friends who will build you up and grow you rather than tearing you down and slowly disabling you. We have to be intentional. There's a whole world out there that's dying, who thinks that everything's marvelous and it's not marvelous. Things are falling apart in their lives, and we'd love to reach them for Christ, wouldn't we? We love to reach those people for Christ, but we have to gang together in the right crowd and begin to pursue that together. We need to be the people who love and fear God. Amen? But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw or avoid every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the traditions which he received from us, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone else's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have the authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. You need to find the right people. Will you say that with me? I need to find the right people. Say it again. I need to find the right people. Is it starting to sink in yet? Isn't that what it's saying? Husband, wives, friends, loving talk, not hateful talk. It needs to start with the core of whatever family you're in, or even if you're single, and move out from there. We need to be the biblical examples like Paul and his team. We need to act like a Christian. I know that's probably a new thought. I'm just kidding. But no compromise. He has sent us into the world to change the world, and we can't do that if we're living in the world and buying their thing. Listen to this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation. Being reconciled with God. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, Harvest Fellowship, the word of reconciliation. So I'm going to just say it as easy as I can. Will you dump the old friends and pick up some new ones that will build you up in the faith, and you can build them up in the faith? What would it look like if when we walked out of here and we came back next Sunday and we all started to work on having relationships with people who builds up, what would this church be like? Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? I mean, doesn't it also make you almost want to go out and start witnessing to people? Because we're encouraged here, we grow here, we learn here. But we've got to quit hanging with the wrong people and start hanging with the right people.